From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Remember the 5th of September, there is no gunpowder and plot, but there will be more information about Indonesia, still from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm still will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes, and as I said, there will be information about Indonesia. And we would like to begin with the news, so stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First lines. Indonesia and Bahrain agree to increase economic cooperation. Government revoke regulations hindering investment inflow. Those are the lines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalapani. Indonesian Ministry of Communication and Informatics assess radio as a media which announces information and entertainment is still exists in millennial competition. Radio has power in attracting its listener. Expert staff of Secretary General of Indonesian Ministry of Communication and Informatics, Hendrasmo, after joining diplomatic forum organized by Voice of Indonesia with the theme "The Future of Radio" in Jakarta on Wednesday, advised that radio must transform to join the needs of millennial people, but from contents and technology. He said radio must keep on revitalizing.
Jadi kalau kita lihat dari tren, kan,
so,
ini kan dunia,
if we see the trend, this is a global trend. The people who listen to radio is getting lower. That's the analogy. If we see one of data, the connectivity level of Indonesia has been 64% of the population that is connected to internet. In majority, Indonesian people are connected with smartphone. It is everything. To make radio being listened by many people, it must also be at smartphone.
Itu harus supaya harus ada di smartphone juga.
Hendrasmo also appreciated RRI, which has made application-based Android, and it can be accessed at smartphone. He said there are 63.4 million millennial, or 30% of the total population of Indonesia, that will be the major population in 2025. Therefore, radio has big sufficient market if it considers the telecommunication development in next 5 years. Indonesian and Bahrain governments agreed to increase economic cooperation during a meeting of the two foreign ministers in Manama, Bahrain, recently. In a press statement released by Indonesian Foreign Ministry received by Antara News Agency on Wednesday, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi met with her Bahraini counterpart Sheikh Khalid bin Ahmed bin Muhammad Al Khalifa as part of her working visit to the country. She also held bilateral talks with Prime Minister Prince Khalifa bin Salman Al Khalifa, Crown Prince Salman bin Hamad Al Khalifa, and Chairman of the Bahrain Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Samir Abdullah Ahmed Nas. The effort to enhance economic cooperation was the focus of the Indonesian Foreign Minister's working visit. The two countries agreed to negotiate investment agreements and increase the direct contact between the businessmen of both countries. The Indonesian government is considering revoking a number of regulations hindering the inflow of investments and the relocation of industries from other countries. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita at a coordination meeting between the central government, regional administrations, and Bank Indonesia in Jakarta on Wednesday night, explained that Any companies are relocating their plants, so the government must seize the opportunity. He further said, both the central and regional governments committed to easing licensing procedures. He went on to say, the Trade Ministry will always make efforts to open greater access to foreign markets through a number of trade agreements in order to strengthen the performance of the national manufacturing industry. Indonesia's Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Kadin, will shortly hold a business mission to 14 European nations and the U.S. to boost investment and trade ties and follow up on the ongoing trade agreement negotiations. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Kadin Deputy Chief for International Relations, Sinta Wijaya, noted in a press conference in Jakarta on Wednesday that the business mission will prioritize the realization of the vision of making Indonesia 4.0 and transformation of Indonesia into one of the world's 10 largest economies in 2030. She also said the business mission is expected to enhance trade and investment relations with European countries and the United States and exchange knowledge to achieve the vision of Indonesia 4.0. She noted that the business mission will lay due emphasis on multi-sectoral development encompassing agriculture, chemical industry, packing industry, food and beverage industry, logistics, shipbuilding, maritime, port, furniture, and handicraft industry. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Coordinating Economic Affairs Minister Darmin Nasution pointed to the quality of human resources emerging as a challenge in the development of financial technology, fintech, in Indonesia. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister Darmin during the Indonesia Fintech Forum 2010 in Jakarta on Wednesday said that the government has anticipated problems that might crop up in the development of financial technology while opening the space for innovation. In 2020, the government will focus on the development of education and vocational training to enhance the quality of human resources as a future investment for the nation. He further said, the digital economy is set to redefine the future of work. Some remain, that some have just been born. Fintech is an area where future jobs are being created. Indonesia's digital economy has shown rapid growth, with online transactions in 2018 amounting to 47.16 billion rupiahs, or a 281.39% increase as compared to 12.38 billion rupiahs worth of online transactions in 2017. The Financial Service Authority, OJK, has launched the Electronic Gateway for Digital Finance Information Systems, which is said to be a more efficient way to monitor the development of financial technology, fintech, amid the industry's rapid growth in the country. As stated by JakartaPost.com on Wednesday, OJK Deputy Chairman Nur Haida in Jakarta said that the platform is in the early stages. Further developments are on their way. GESIT is an online registration system for fintech startups wanting to grow its business through the OJK Infinity and Innovation Hub, business incubator and education center for fintech established last year. Through the newly launched platform, fintech industry stakeholders could also get access to the latest news on fintech issues and make consultation appointments with the OJK Infinity team. The OJK Infinity has received 121 new fintech registrations, of which 48 fintech startups have been verified and ready to start their businesses. The government plans to gradually slash corporate income tax and require foreign entities to collect value-added tax from domestic economic activities in a planned next new tax bill that is expected to spur investment and take advantage of the growing digital economy. As quoted by the Jakarta Post on Wednesday, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati explained that the government seeks to lower corporate income tax from the current 25% to 20% in 2021 and 20% in 2023, which would avoid a drastic decrease in tax revenue. The bill, which is still being discussed within government to be deliberated further with lawmakers, would amend parts of the existing income tax law, VAT law, and general taxation law to make Indonesia's taxation regime more competitive for investors. The Agency for Technology Assessment and Application, BPPT, organized Indonesia's premier exhibition on electrical vehicles called Indonesia Electric Motor Show, IEMS 2019, at Balai Kartika, Kuningan, Jakarta, on September 4 to 5. Some 45 participants, comprising government institutions and private sector companies, were in attendance to the showcase their electrical vehicles featuring the latest technology from Japan, China, European, and local automotive manufacturers. As quoted by Antara News Agency, BBPT head Hamman Rija at the venue on Wednesday explained that the exhibition is a form of implementation of in electric motor industry and competitiveness. The exhibition theme Electric Vehicle for Smart Transportation also displayed an array of supporting components within the electric vehicle technology ecosystem, such as charging stations. And listeners, that's the news.
Listener, here's today's commentary, and it is about Corruption Eradication Commission leader candidate. The tenure of the current Corruption Eradication Commission, or KPK leader, will soon end. Therefore, President Joko Widodo had formed selection committee to decide the next KPK leaders from practitioners, police, legal, and financial auditor. From the selection process, 10 candidates will soon be recommended by the President to the House of Representatives to be chosen to do the fit and proper test for 5 candidates of the 2019-2024 period. Pros and cons appear among the people, including from the law expert, anti-corruption activists, and the people themselves, beginning from about selection committee themselves until the chosen candidate. In a meeting at the palace on Tuesday, President Joko Widodo hoped to build a system in KPK performance so it is not only monitoring the apparatus and arresting corruptors. With the system, the president added, KPK will build anti-corruption system with the government simultaneously. Besides that, KPK can monitor the system built by the government. Meanwhile, Kurnia Ramadan, researcher from Indonesia Corruption Watch, asked the president to bravely reject the candidates if they do not have integrity. Besides that, Kurnia Ramadan also said the selection committee works based on the presidential decree, so that Joko Widodo as the president holds full right to reject the committee's performance if it creates problem. Moreover, the dissatisfaction about selection committee's performance had been voiced by many people and experts. Meanwhile, selection committee chairperson Yenti Garnasih denied that the committee was unprofessional. She said the committee had carried out tight selection process according to the expertise of each committee members. Besides that, inputs from many people about track record of KPK leader candidates were also considered in choosing those candidates. Apart from the pros and cons about the selection committee or selection process itself, the president wants to build a clean and honorable government system. Therefore, it needs experts who are able to fight against all invincible power. Great courage of the next KPK leaders is also required to monitor, to fight, and to reveal collusion, corruption, and nepotism in government bureaucracy. KPK leaders must indiscriminately process all cases, especially against those who support the rulers. The homework for the new leader is quite heavy. Intimidation against KPK investigators must not repeat, just like the currently unsolved one. And listener, that was today's commentary.
Listener, here is Today in History. Our regular program Today in History starts from an event on September 5, 1945, Yogyakarta, Sultanate Joint Republic of Indonesia. On September 5, 1945, Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX and Paku Alam VIII declare their full support to Republic of Indonesia, which had just been proclaimed. Their statement was proved by the mandate to Yogyakarta people. The mandate was announced on September 5, 1945. The mandate included three things, namely Yogyakarta Kingdom, which is special region of Indonesia. All affairs of government of special region of Yogyakarta are controlled by Sultan. And Sultan was directly responsible to the President of Republic of Indonesia. The next event was in 1984, when Adam Malik, former the third vice president and national hero of Indonesia, died. Adam Malik's career began as a journalist and movement activist. When he was young, he was active to participate in the national movement to struggle Indonesian independence through the establishment of Antara News Office. In the Japanese colonial era, Adam Malik was also active in guerrilla in the youth movement to fight for the independence. Adam Malik has become trade minister and foreign affairs minister. His highest career was the vice president of the Republic of Indonesia from 1978 to 1983. Adam Malik died in Bandung, West Java, on September 5, 1984, in the age of 67 years old due to illness. The last event was in 2005. Mandala Airlines crashed after taking off in Medan, North Sumatra. Airplane Boeing 737-200 of Mandala Airlines crashed in Padang Bulan, Medan, Indonesia on September 5, 2005. The accident occurred several seconds after the airplane took off from Polonia Airport, Medan, en route of Medan, Jakarta. The airplane carried 112 passengers and 5 crews. The crash killed 100 passengers. 17 passengers were reportedly safe. Among the death toll were Governor of North Sumatra, Tengku Rizal Nurdin, 2 Chinese citizens and 1 Malaysian. Well, listener, that was Today in History. Huh?
You are still with us in the Voice of Indonesia. Next one will be My Indonesia. Stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is My Indonesia. The title of My Indonesia for today's edition is Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry Support Waste Management and Forest and Land Rehabilitation at Super Priority Tourism Destination of Borobudur. Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya visited Borobudur Temple area last week to see waste management and forest and land rehabilitation efforts. The rehabilitation is in the form of making forest parks around the Borobudur area. All efforts of the Ministry of Environment and Forestry carried out in Borobudur will also be implemented in other super priority tourist destinations, namely Lake Toba, Labuan Bajo, and Mandalika. The government will accelerate infrastructure development in the four destinations. The acceleration of development in Borobudur and other super priority tourism destinations will be carried out across sectors from ministries and institutions. During the visit, the minister said, in the terms of waste management, the Ministry of Environment and Forestry would assist the government of Magelang Regency to build a facility to provide a final processing site. In addition to the final processing site or TPA, the Ministry of Environment and Forestry will also provide facilities and infrastructure for waste management, such as heavy equipment, to achieve 100% handling or service. Especially in the Borobudur area, the ministry will help to develop a regional waste management system independently, such as collection and recycling system. Waste reduction will continue to be campaigned through a ban on the use of disposable plastics. Minister Siti Nurbaya added, for the construction of forest park, the Ministry of Environment and Forestry has prepared a technical design for planting in the Borobudur Temple complex, which has been coordinated with the Borobudur Conservation Center. Currently, 200 trees have been planted in stages, including Keppel, Tanjung, Pulai and Nagasari species of tree by using an aquasorb garden media or gel granules that function to bind and water storage. The conservation areas around Borobudur will also be optimized to support Borobudur as a priority tourism destination. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia.
Kau berikan, kau datang mengisi hidupku. Bayangan dirimu selalu mengisi hatiku bila
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Thank you very much for everyone who are still with us in the Voice of Indonesia. Next one, we would like to bring you across Indonesia to find out our local wisdom, local culture, or local tourism destinations. Next one will be Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I introduce you to Karau Gorontalo special clothes. Next October, one of 100 calendar events of Tourism Ministry entitled Karau Enchantment Festival will be held in Gorontalo. On the event, there will be performed a parade where people wearing Karau clothes, embroidery parade, Karau photograph competition, and Karau motif competition. In accordance with the name, the festival aims to popularize Karau clothes widely to public. Karau is a typical embroidery cloth of Gorontalo. The name of the Gorontalo traditional clothes is actually taken from the word karau, means embroidery by hand. The traditional cloth handicraft has existed since the 17th century during the kingdom era of Gorontalo. Earlier, the karau handicraft was made by Gorontalo people, especially women, for their own necessity. But due to its uniqueness and beauty, many people love karau clothes, so the cloth is currently merchantability, either in the form of cloth or ready-to-wear clothes. Its price is also varies. For women's cloth and shirt, it sold 125,000 rupiah until 250,000 rupiah. While for men's cloth, the price is 400,000 rupiah, 150,000 rupiah for casual suit, and 100,000 rupiah until 150,000 rupiah for shirt. Besides being made for various kinds of clothes, karau can also be used for making various kinds of craft, which are decorated with embroidery, such as bag, handkerchief, and many others. Karau cloth has typical embroidery with various colors of interesting ornaments. The making process of the embroidery of karau is not easy. Laude M. Arif Akbar, Acting Manager of Development of Small Medium Enterprises, Representative Office of Bank Indonesia of Gorontalo Province, when being interviewed at Voice of Indonesia Studio, explained that there are two steps of process to produce karau cloth.
Ada lima proses. Jadi yang pertama kita mendesain.
There are two manufacturing processes. Firstly, making the karau design. Jadi kain, secondly, cut the cloth on the yarn pack.
Kita cabut
then pull the threads one by one until forming a hollow pattern.
Okay.
After that, put in other new threads according to the design. Then tie and embroider. Cloth is complete. There are a lot of embroidery motifs of karau cloth, such as tulip, rose, and butterfly. A piece of karau embroidery can be completed for 1 week until 1 month, even more, depending on type of the cloth, threads and motifs. The best quality of karao, which is made by using golden threads with complicated motifs, takes more long time. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Tujukan rasa cintamu, coba buat berkata.
You are still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. And it is still the English service, as you can listen to us. Next one will be interesting information about Indonesia in the miscellany.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we present you information on Indonesia International Book Fair. Indonesia International Book Fair 2019 is held at Jakarta Convention Center on September 4th until 8th, 2019. The 39th event, which is held by Indonesian Publisher Association, was held for the first time in 1980. Previously, it was named Indonesia Book Fair, and since 2014, it has been changed to Indonesia International Book Fair. There are various activities of the book fair, among others, promotion, transaction, discussion, interaction among publishers, writers, librarians, activists of literature, arts, culture, education, and also other creative industry players. The event is opened free of charge for public. There are some new things and different from various events where the event will hold Indonesia Partnership Program, IPP, an international symposium on education. The goal of IPP is to make Indonesia becoming sources and the center of translation copyright marketing in international world. In the program, the committee gives special incentive to buyers of the copyright from abroad who will attend and do transaction at the event. Another new thing is symposium, which gets support from Ministry of Education and Culture and also Creative Economic Agency. The symposium, it was held on September 3, 2019, discussed educational context, the influence of technology on current education and copyright. In addition, one of interesting zones of the Indonesian International Book Fair is Zona Kalap, where buyers could get a 40 until 90% discount from various publishers. The event is the implementation of Law No. 3/2017 on book system with rules. Book fair does not only become a promotional event of literation but also book sales, which can be enjoyed by public, namely by providing book in cheap price. Zona Kalap has existed since last year. The committee of the event provides 500,000 copies of book, which consists of 5,000 titles published by 250 publishers. The books are sold in cheap price in the 600 meter squares area. At the book fair, there is also a zone which provides educative toys and merchandise related to book. That was our segment for today, Miscellany. Thanks for listening.
Jangan kau bohongi hatimu. jelas kau ingin aku. Percuma punya wajah yang merdu bila dia tak mampu melukiskan senyummu. Izinkan ku isi harimu, usir mendung kelabu. Percuma punya tampang yang syahdu bila dia tak mampu melukiskan senyummu. Oh tu apalagi sayang, tinggalkanlah dirinya. Kan ku buat hari-harimu bahagia. Lalu tu apalagi sayang, ku lebih baik darinya. Tak akan ada lagi tangis air mata. Buat apa kau buang waktu dalam kisah yang semu. Izinkanlah ku cumbu hatimu dan merangkai cinta. Oh tunggu apa lagi sayang, tinggalkanlah dirinya. Kan ku buat hari-harimu bahagia. Lalu tunggu apa lagi sayang, ku lebih baik darinya. Tak akan ada lagi tangis air mata. Bukakanlah pintu hatimu darah. Izinkanlah ku ketuk asmara. Kan ku ubah sedihmu jadi bahagia. Tunggu apa lagi sayang, tinggalkanlah dirinya. Kan ku buat hari-harimu penuh bahagia. Tunggu apa lagi sayang, ku lebih baik darinya. Tak akan ada lagi tangis air mata. Apalagi kan ku buat harimu bahagia.
Well, it seems we have provided you many information about Indonesia and also so many good songs from our country. There will be more from us, so stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a song, Mutiara dari Selatan, by Andi Meriam Matalata. The beautiful singer with original name Andi Siti Meriam Nurul Kusumawardani, popularly with a nickname Mutiara dari Selatan, means pearl from the south. The name was given by Iskandar, a composer and musician, who composed the song Mutiara dari Selatan, especially to Andi Meriam. Besides the song composer and producer of Andi Meriam's album, Iskandar also coached her to be a good singer. Andi Meriam Matalata began to enter the music industry of the country as a professional singer since she released the song Mutiara dari Selatan. Let's listen to the song Mutiara dari Selatan by Andi Meriam Matalata. Enjoy the song.
Pandang mata. Voice of Indonesia.
It is quite unfortunate that we only have almost 1 hour to be together in here, but I hope that everything we have presented to you will be very useful, will be entertaining and also enjoyable for all of you. Do not forget to send anything you want to say about what you have listened. Send it to our email, voi@voinews.id, and also our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. Never forget, you can keep listening to us in The Voice of Indonesia through our website, voinews.id. Well, then, listener, there will be more information about Indonesia, but maybe it will be in another language. So stay tuned with us in The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.